Hey, welcome to our podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. I'm thrilled to have on the line with me Roger Hayes. He is the president and CEO of Premier Employer Services. Roger Hayes, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kim. I'm very happy to be here.
So tell us about Premier Employer Services. What is it that you do exactly?
So we are a professional employer organization, or PEO for short. And what PEOs do is we contract with small to mid-sized businesses, mostly here in Colorado for us, but we do have clients in a number of other states. And we help these companies with payroll, benefits administration, human resource issues, and risk management and payroll taxes. So we basically become the HR department, the back house part of a business, for smaller businesses that can't really afford to hire a bunch of people to do this internally. We can do it due to the fact that we pool everybody. We do it more economically, and we can save them a lot of money and then give them some expertise that they probably normally wouldn't have, because we can have a whole lot of people working on their account and they're really not paying for each one of those individual people. So we end up doing a lot of stuff with a lot of small companies to help them with HR compliance, handbooks, guidance, hiring people, you know, coaching and counseling. Obviously, we do the payroll. We offer direct deposit. There's a whole litany of things that we do to help companies thrive so that they can focus on what it is they were created to do. You know, whether they're selling widgets or whatever, we're there to let them go do that, and we take care of the pretty mundane, unfun stuff that businesses have to do.
But they have to do it. What? How can people reach you? What would be the best way to reach out to you if they had questions about their business?
We have a website, premieremployerservices.com, and there's a way that they can go online there and fill out a form. It, you know, allows you to ask us questions or ask us to call you, or they can always call us too. And our number is 303-221-0558. My extension's 101. They can get right to me if they want to do that as well.
Okay, that's 303-221-0558, extension 101. So again, 303-221-0558, extension 101. Okay, Roger, 6 weeks ago, things were very different. The stock market was at new highs. Unemployment was low across the spectrum. This COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing comes in and everything is disrupted. What do you see happening right now with our small businesses and our mid-sized businesses?
At this very moment in time, not a lot has changed, but there's one huge thing that's been introduced into the formula, and that's absolute terror. A lot of companies are very, very scared and very worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. What we saw about 2 weeks ago was a lot of small businesses contacting us, a lot of our customers, wanting to know about how to go about shutting down or laying off employees. What are the rules? Can they furlough them? A whole bunch of questions. But then once Congress started working on the CARE Act, everybody kind of took a deep breath and slowed down a little bit. So they didn't actually cut people loose. Our clients didn't. Now, that doesn't mean a lot of folks didn't, because when you're looking at the restaurant business, a lot of the retail, those people are unemployed. But as far as our customers went, they kind of took a breath, stepped back, and wanted to wait and see what Congress was going to come up with the two acts that they've passed in the last couple of weeks. And now I think a lot of them they're a little more calm, but the one thing that we get every day on the phone or via email is people are just really, really nervous and scared.
Well, and I think rightfully so. I think the thing that is most fearful is unknowns. You know, if you can get some certainty and know what you're looking at, I think there's some solace in that. But there's so many unknowns right now, Roger.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And what's happened over the last 6 weeks is things have changed so much and so quickly at times. Within less than 24 hours, you'll have two or three different things happen to businesses. And so with the rapid change, that's where the fear comes from is, you know, what's going to happen not just in the next 6 months or the next 3 months, what's going to happen while I'm on the phone talking to a customer and then I hang up and find out everything I just told them has changed? Because we've gone through that a number of times in the last couple of weeks where we'll give somebody some guidance based upon what we know at the time. And by the time we get off the phone, something has changed. The president has said something. The governor has said something. Congress has stepped in. So when it comes to running a business, rapid change like that, and you know where everything out there is dark and unknown and gloomy, is absolutely scary. And even for us as a business, you know, we don't know what's coming next either. And so I know exactly how they feel. What are we going to do tonight? What's going to happen to us tomorrow? And so trying to plan for this has been really difficult because you just don't know what's around the corner, literally.
How are we going to come out of this? What? And I know that that's kind of a crystal ball question. I think that we will. Will it be like after World War II when the economy, you know, got started again? I mean, what do you see exactly, Roger?
Well, and this is obviously a personal point for me. There's nothing in writing, and it's not agreed upon by a whole bunch of really smart people. But I think we're going to come out of it, and we're going to move pretty quick because everything's in place for us to go back to where we were 8 weeks ago. Booming economy, sales are up. There's going to be some shifts in how people behave and how they purchase, where they're buying, where they're spending money. But I still think we're going to come back pretty quick. And I know people have said that it's really unrealistic to have everything up and running by Easter. But I understand what President Trump's trying to do is say, hey, look, the sooner we can get this going again, the better it will be for everyone. Because the longer we wait, the harder it will be to restart. The harder it will be to bring people back to their jobs. But if we can get this thing under control and we can get back by May 1st, I think things return pretty quickly. Now, pretty quickly means maybe a month or two, but you're going to see it pick up pretty fast. People starting to rehire again. People are going to rush out as soon as they're released from quarantines or stay-at-home orders and want to go shopping and they want to go back to the stores, and not in huge volumes, but in pretty good numbers. And so I don't think it's going to be terribly hard to get a little bit of this going. And then every week that goes by that we don't have to re-quarantine people or we don't have to redo stay-at-home orders, it'll just pick up more speed. Now, the sectors that are going to be affected are going to be a little different. You know, people are going to alter their behaviors and some of what they've done, but I don't think it's going to be terribly hard if we get it done within the next 30 to 45 days.
Okay. What about manufacturing? You know, I've really taken it for granted when I could go to the store and I could have the luxury of walking up and down the aisles and just picking things up that I have on my list and putting it into my cart, and sometimes even things I didn't have on my list. With all the manufacturing that had been occurring in China, do you think that we're going to have some supply disruptions as we try to kind of refigure out manufacturing worldwide?
To some degree, I think you're correct. That was kind of what I alluded to with how people are going to change their behaviors. I think one of the things we're going to do is folks are going to want to buy more American, more local. It's going to take a little while for factories to start up to take over some of that. I think other countries are going to really have a tough time because their economies are going to be pretty beat up. We're not going to buy stuff from them anymore. We aren't going to trust them. In the case of pharmaceuticals or respirators, or those are the kind of things we're going to want to see done locally so we don't go through this again. As far as you and I going to the grocery store, the shelves are bare every time I go just to buy simple, regular necessities. But it's not that we aren't able to produce that. We're doing a great job of manufacturing it, of getting it ready, milk and meats and other foods, pastas. The problem is people are in a panic mode and they're buying it up so fast, they're not letting the supply chain catch up. And so we're keeping that number down. That part of it isn't going to be hard to get going because those folks are doing a phenomenal job of trying to provide and manufacture everything we need to survive. If we can just take a deep breath and step back and give them a week, the store shelves will be pretty well stocked again very quickly. As to the other stuff, like all the stuff we buy at some of the box stores that's manufactured overseas, some of our computer equipment, those kind of things, over the course of the next 6 to 12 months, you're going to see a lot of that come home. And I think you're going to see a lot of hiring as companies start to retool and start to manufacture that stuff back here in America. I think by the end of the year, our economy is going to be in really good shape again. We're going to have a different economy because we're going to be manufacturing more things that we have been purchasing from overseas. But I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. It's just going to take a while.
Okay. Next question. I've asked myself, why has so much of our manufacturing gone overseas? And the answer I keep coming up with is that we have made labor so expensive through payroll taxes, through union action. And so it was cheaper to actually manufacture that offshore. Do you see a change in some of those rules that's going to make labor less expensive here in America?
I see some of it, but it's going to take a while. One of the big things that businesses struggle with here in Colorado and elsewhere around the U.S., it's the labor costs are higher because of the things that you said. That's definitely a factor. But there's a big, huge issue with compliance. The Colorado State Legislature's, you know, as guilty as anybody. Over the past 5 years, the number of regulations that they have created that they have piled upon all of the other regulations that are still on the books, because what legislatures and Congress do is they don't really ever take anything off. They just keep adding to it. And so it's that, you know, it's that proverbial saying about the straw that broke the camel's back. You just keep adding straw. You never take any off. You never go through the books and get rid of old, dilapidated, stupid laws that no longer really apply in a 21st century economy. And you just keep adding stuff to it. And it becomes so onerous for businesses to pay for their employees, to afford benefits, to pay the exorbitant taxes. And then compliance becomes a massive problem on top of all of it, and they just can't keep up. So it's easier for a lot of companies ship that overseas, where you don't have the compliance or the tax issues, and you don't have as high of wages to pay. And so it's a piece of cake to just move it to Thailand or China. And you're going to save a lot of headache, a lot of energy, and a lot of money. And so that's one thing we're going to have to fix. But that's going to take time because Congress and legislatures don't move quickly, and they don't like to undo things that they've done in the past. They don't ever want to admit it was a mistake. So it's hard to repeal a lot of that stuff. It's just so easy to create new stuff and look famous and popular as a legislator. It's tough to take stuff off the books. So it's going to take a while, but I do think that there's going to be more desire for that. There's going to be a little bit more of a push from groups that, you know, middle of the road folks that normally weren't really thinking about it are going to want to see some of that so that we can bring some of these jobs back home.
Okay. In this conversation with you, I see an underlying real positive hope there. Things are going to be different. But there were some things that probably needed to be different. And the other thing, Roger, that I find very exciting is that people are paying attention. You know, before this, we were kind of fat and happy. We were busy. Just, you know, things were good. We didn't realize how good they were, but they were good. Now, where the veil is off on the agenda, as you mentioned, the cost of compliance. We like having goods transported into our stores. And we've seen down at the legislature things that were proposed to make it more expensive for the trucking industry. We like affordable, reliable, and efficient energy. While we're at home, it's nice to have heat, lights, electricity to run our computers. I think that the veil is off on some of these overreaching pieces of legislation, and I'm excited about that, Roger.
Well, I am as well. When you look at the energy sector with oil and gas, I think one of the really interesting things that's come out of this recently is when you have Governor Polis going on television and telling the communities that have passed laws to ban the use of plastic grocery bags. And he says, hey, and I'm going to paraphrase him, I'm not going to quote him, but he says, hey, you can't enforce those, you know, onerous charges to try to stop people from using plastic bags right now, because the plastic bags are actually safer in this environment than the cotton reusable bags. He wants everybody to stop using reusable grocery bags. So you had these onerous laws in places like Boulder County and that are, hey, we want to stop people from using plastic. But turns out that there was something positive about those bags after all. They're safer when it comes to communicable diseases. So I think you're going to see some of that kind of stuff not be quite so popular all of a sudden. And when it comes to our energy sector, the oil and gas rules about, hey, we don't want to drill and we don't want to do this. You know, folks are stuck in their homes, and if all of a sudden we didn't have natural gas or heating home oil around the country, people would be in a lot of trouble. And I think a lot of people are going to realize that some of this stuff might have gone a little too far, and you may see some of that come back. I don't think it's going to completely go away, because you're still going to have, you know, good-sized segments of people who are very environmentally conscious. But I think some of that, the undecided voters that we have, those middle-of-the-road folks, are going to kind of maybe step back a little bit and say, I think we need to relook at this. So over the course of the next 2 to 5 years, we're going to have a very different outlook as to where we are right now versus where we're going to end up. I think a lot of that stuff's going to come back. And that's good. I think that's a positive. And it's same with what we were talking about on legislation. For businesses, you're going to maybe see some of that stuff get repealed, and a lot of the really onerous compliance issues that the legislature keeps trying to dump on small businesses because they're convinced that everybody's a millionaire is going to back off a little. Because one thing that this coronavirus has proven is that small businesses do not have unlimited vaults of cash where they can just keep paying people indefinitely, and the legislature can keep adding new regulations or new government entitlement programs that they can afford. They just can't afford it. And you're seeing that now where companies are having to shut down very quickly and lay people off. So there's going to definitely be some changes.
Okay, another question. With the retail sector being shut down or almost shut down, of course, our restaurants and bars and taverns, lots of municipalities and the state also really need sales tax revenues to, you know, to make their government run. So what do you think is going to happen regarding sales tax revenues and government? Will government shrink because of that?
I would like to think so. If I had my guess, I would say a little bit, yes, because we're going to tighten some things up. We may have. But I also think there's going to be a push to raise taxes by some groups and say, hey, look, obviously we're not doing enough. We need more, and we need it in our coffers. Now, the good news is they may cancel some of these big projects that they were planning, you know, the Family Act. I think a lot of people are coming to understand that new family leave bill here in Colorado is just too big and too expensive, and it's going to create a huge additional tax issue for not just employers, but employees as well. And this might not be the best time to do something so grandiose. There's always the opposite to that as well, where you're going to have a segment of folks go, no, this proves that we really need it. I think it doesn't. I think it proves that it's just too big. And right now, if you're going to do that to business, you're going to saddle them with a larger burden at a time where they really can't handle it. So hopefully the legislature backs off. Hopefully when they put those on the ballot this November, because the proponents are saying that that's definitely going to be on the ballot, that people realize this is not a good time for such a large, you know, grand building of an entitlement program. And I'm hoping we'll see some more of that. Things like that, other programs, tax increases. I really am, and a lot of people that we're talking to, a lot of middle of the road, left, slightly right, folks are saying, you know what, we've got to get our priorities straight. You know, we've got to stop this just doing everything that makes us feel good, and we've actually got to stop and think about this. And I love to hear that. As a business person and somebody who works with a lot of small, mid-sized companies, it's good to hear people start saying, hey, we have to come up with programs that make sense and are affordable, and doing all these crazy, big, huge projects left and right because they sound great and make everybody feel good might not be the best idea after all. So I think you're onto it. I think you're going to see some of that change. I think we're going to see some things backed off, hopefully anyway. I'm very optimistic.
Okay. And we're just about out of time. What's some of the final thoughts that you would like to leave with our listeners?
You know, I think we've covered it. It's one of the big things is there's an underlying optimism. There's a lot of fear out there right now and a lot of terror. But I've had conversations with business owners that are like, you know, once we get past this, I think things are going to be good. And I think some segments that had been ignored are, they're really stepping up. There's opportunities out there for investment. There's opportunities for business growth. May not be the things that are going on right now. An example is, you know, the Grubhub delivery service types. And we kind of all knew about them. Some of us used them in the past. But now that we're all kind of quarantined to our homes, that segment has really boomed. Those people are doing a lot of delivery that we weren't doing before. I think that's going to be a big change. People may not go out to restaurants quite as often. They may have stuff delivered more frequently. But there's still going to be growth. There's still opportunity for investment. There's still opportunity for a lot of jobs. We're seeing a lot of companies hiring right now, even in the midst of all this chaos and fear. There's companies out there that are hiring at a really high pace. So I think that's really good. I think it shows us that the economy might be different. The industries and the business segments may change a little bit after this is over, but they're not going to go away. We're not going to go into this massive, deep 1930s type of a depression. If we can get out of this relatively quickly, I think we're going to come out of it in really good shape.
Well, and I think that every day, you know, the creativity and innovation of the American spirit, you know, we're looking at treatments, faster testing on this COVID-19 Wuhan virus thing. You know, every day there's something new that is being developed to fight back on this. And I find that so encouraging as well, Roger Hayes.
I do as well. And it tells you one thing, that only in a free market economy like we have here in the U.S. can that kind of stuff move that fast and be that successful. Because of our open markets, because of our type of economy that we have in the United States, capitalism, as much grief as it has been getting lately, this is what capitalism and free markets are all about. They allow for quick movement, adaptation. People come up with brilliant ideas. American entrepreneurs are some of the best in the world, and they come up with things so fast, and they address things so quickly. You're seeing it in our large automotive plants where they're wheeling around quickly to manufacture respirators instead of cars. You can't do that on a lot of companies that don't have free markets and don't have capitalism. It just doesn't work as well. And so I think that's what makes us great. And I think that's one of the things that's going to make it come out of this pretty quickly once we get going again. People don't just sit around and feel sorry for themselves in this country. We attack things.
I love that. Roger Hayes, President, CEO of Premier Employer Services, and that is premieremployerservices.com, correct? Is that the right?
Correct, yeah.
Right,
it's
way to say that?
One. I'm sorry, okay. But you said it correctly. Yep.
PremierEmployerServices.com. Roger's phone number is 303-221-0558, extension 101. Again, 303-221-0558, extension 101. Roger Hayes, thank you so much for joining Sounding Off with Kim Munson.
Thanks for the opportunity. You guys have a wonderful week.